When Christian told me that we were doing a series on tattoos, I remembered that I had preached a sermon about a tattoo. It's about 9 years ago, and there are actually some folks here who might have been here that night to hear that sermon. So I went and dug it out, and I've updated it considerably. But regardless, if it sounds at all familiar, that may be why also a piece of this piece of that sermon ended up in Queer Virtue. So there might also be something familiar for there, just as a, like, you know, you're not crazy. Okay. You may know that that Queer Virtue, for me, refers to an ethical path. And the steps on this path are identity, risk, touch, adoption, scandal. Now, if you don't know that, I'm not offended, and you don't need to memorize it. I mention this for one reason and one reason only, and that's to be able to tell you this story. When Queer Virtue was about to launch, I made a series of short videos to try to bring the steps on this path to life, and you can see those videos now on the Queer Virtue website. As I was working on the scripts, one of my nieces happened to be visiting from out of town. I asked if she'd listen to the scripts and tell me what she thought of them, you know, get like a different intergenerational kind of perspective. She was in high school at the time. She graciously agreed, and so late one night, we sat at my table together, and I read her all five scripts, one after another. Her strongest reaction, by far, was to the script for touch. On the queer path, touch is the step where you've been figuring out who you are, and maybe you're starting to name it out loud, and now, to understand your identity more deeply, you need to connect with other people who share that identity, which is hard because opening yourself up to others is risky. It happens that my niece had recently found a church-based youth group that had become really important to her. Her parents, my younger sister and her husband, are not religious at all, so my niece had never been to church. But she really loved this community and the pastor, and it was helping her navigate some tough life issues. She was becoming attached, even as she wrestled with her distrust that a Christian community could be a safe place to reveal herself and invest her heart. The script for touch starts like this. You and I are carnal beings, fleshy, with just a little spark of the divine. These bodies of ours need to be touched, and that little spark is always looking for love. But wow, does it make you vulnerable. It can feel so good. It can hurt so much. It's a paradox that to feel the touch of love, you have to risk being terribly wounded. My niece stopped me cold. That, she said, the vulnerability of love, that's so real. I struggle with that all the time. I knew exactly what she meant. Even as we sat there that night, I was still recovering from the most devastating ordeal of my life, in which my queerness, my priesthood, and a romantic relationship all collided in an exquisite catastrophe. Some of the wounds from this experience I will bear for the rest of my life. It damaged me, and it forced me to dig deep and come to terms with myself in a way that most certainly saved me. This was an experience that demanded to be written on my body. And even as I was still in the middle of the worst of it, still wrestling fiercely with God, I began to design a tattoo based on the story that we just heard, that Bertrand read so well, of Jacob wrestling the angel. Now, I'm going to show you a picture of the tattoo. I'm going to explain it in a minute, but just so you can see it. That's right after, that was like immediately following having it put on, but I'll tell you more about that in a second. Now, so this story that we just heard, Jacob wrestling the angel, is a famous one. Like, okay, so how many people have like sort of at least a passing acquaintance with this story, Jacob wrestling the angel? Is there anybody here who's actually like studied this story? It gets a lot, yeah, right, yeah. It's a story that gets a lot of attention. to understand it, we read more of it tonight than one might usually read, because in order to understand it, you really have to know the backstory. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, son of Isaac, third in the line of patriarchs whose descendants, according to God, will number as the stars in heaven. Jacob is fiercely alive, fiercely carnal, and oh, does he want. He wants to be firstborn. He wants to be blessed. He wants the stunningly beautiful Rachel. And he's not afraid to go after what he wants, even if it means he has to coerce his brother, or lie to his father, or work his butt off year after year for Rachel's father. Jacob is successful, and to get what he wants, he doesn't need anyone but himself, which means that he is also, in a sense, very alone. The encounter with the angel takes place after Jacob has gotten most everything he wants. He's rich, has two wives, a raft of children. He's set for life. Well, except for one thing. He hasn't been home in a very long time. You see, a couple of those little schemes of his cheated and thus wildly infuriated his brother Esau. Jacob has been on the run from Esau for his entire life. But now, as he grows old, Jacob wants something he cannot steal and he cannot earn. He wants to go home. To do that, he needs Esau to forgive him. And unbeknownst to Jacob, that brings God into the picture. So Jacob sets off. Esau comes out to meet him with 400 men. Picture it. 400 men. Jacob knows that Esau is probably gonna kill him. And worse, he knows that he deserves it. The night before they are to meet, Jacob sends his family across the river, leaving him alone. This is the moment of reckoning. Jacob has to get right with Esau, but first he has to get right with himself and with God. Some mysterious figure appears, a man, an angel. Whatever it is, this being jumps Jacob. They wrestle all night, neither of them prevailing. Jacob is in pretty good shape for an aging father of 12. Finally, as dawn is about to break, the angel delivers a brutal blow to Jacob's hip. The Hebrew word is nagah. It means touch. Nagah is used repeatedly in scripture to describe the touch of God, a paradoxical touch that simultaneously wounds and heals. In this story, the angel's touch may mean the death of Jacob. The next morning, Jacob limps to meet his brother. Jacob cannot fight his way out of this one. Completely vulnerable, there is only one hope for Jacob, that Esau might still love him enough to forgive him. Will Esau embrace Jacob or kill him where he stands? They meet, and Esau throws his arms around his brother. At last, Jacob finds a kind of connection that demands reliance on another, one that demands vulnerability. At last, he is healed. He is home. That angel's excruciating touch, that moment of nagah, has crippled Jacob for life. It has also saved him. So, this is the tattoo, and like I said, I was still in the middle of this experience when I asked my, Jay Quinlan is a wonderful artist and a friend, and I commissioned her to design this, to do this with me. So, if you can see it, basically, Jacob is in front here, and the angel is behind him. He's got his arms on the angel's head. And what Jay did that was so brilliant was, this is the rising sun, and it is also the angel's wings. Mm-hmm. And I wanted rainbow, some kind of rainbow elements to capture the queerness of that paradox, for one thing. And so she puts these brush strokes in, which are sort of sunrise, but also the angel's wings. And then down here at Jacob's hip is the word Naga. It's actually in like a Proto-Hebrew. If you actually read Hebrew, it doesn't actually read like Naga, but that was the idea behind it. So it's the whole idea is to capture the wound and the promise here of the new day all at the same time. So we've got paper and pens and pencils and crayons and stuff out there, and because I want to invite you to consider whether this paradox is familiar to you. I'm wondering if you've ever had this experience of being wounded and healed at the same time. And if you were to make a tattoo of your experience with Naga, what would it be? And where on your body would you put it? Now, if tattoos are not your thing, you're never gonna get one, you don't even wanna think about it, then maybe another way to think about it would be, is there an experience of Naga that's like etched in your heart? And is there an image that somehow would capture that? So take a few minutes. You can draw right on the tablecloth, the paper that's on the table, or you can flip your scripture over and draw on that. Just take a few minutes, and then we'll open it up at sermon share.